I was reading a Martin Luther King Jr.'s letter from a Birmingham City jail cell. And I remember reading that and wondering, like, what would I have done if I lived back then? Would I have been the kind of Christian that just ignored that? Or would I have stood up to do something to help my African-American brothers and sisters? And I think the Holy Spirit just convicted me that abortion was the human rights injustice of my time. And if I wasn't doing anything now to end abortion, I probably wouldn't have done anything then to fight for the rights of my African-American neighbors.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Pro-Life Guys podcast, a show dedicated to equipping you with the tools that you need to have compassionate and compelling conversations about abortion so together we can change minds, save lives, and transform our culture. Today, we are back to Humans of the Pro-Life Movement, a series that we try to do to showcase the wonderful, lovely people within the pro-life movement to help inspire people like you to own this as something that you're part of. And today, I'm joined in studio by none other then Adelaide Holmes. How are you doing?
I'm well, Cam. How are you?
I am living the dream. Adelaide, as we're going to get into, is from Michigan, which is super cool because I am not from Michigan and she's here in Calgary. I am not in Michigan. She's here and we'll talk about why she's here in a moment. But before we dive into that, I'm curious. I love the way, and apologies to all of our listeners who have heard me intro this a million times over now. Scott Klusendorf talks about how nobody just randomly ends up in the pro-life movement. There's something of a summoning into the pro-life movement. I'm curious, when you reflect on how you ended up working full-time for Protect Life Michigan, is this something that like was written on your door when you were a child? Was this something that kind of hit you out of the blue? What was your journey into the movement like?
Yeah, I've definitely had the summoning experience that you're talking about. So I grew up in a Christian pro-life home, was always pro-life, never really questioned that. But I didn't really get involved until my sophomore year of college. And so what happened was actually rewind to my freshman year. I was reading a Martin Luther King Jr.'s letter from a Birmingham City jail cell. And he gives a really compelling plea with the church to get involved on the issue of lynching and discrimination. And I remember reading that and wondering, like, what would I have done if I lived back then? Would I have been the kind of Christian that just ignored that? Or would I have stood up to do something to help my African-American brothers and sisters? You know, at the time, being the mature freshman that I was, I decided that I would have done something. I would have been a different kind of person. And then again, my sophomore year, we're reading that same letter again. And I think the Holy Spirit just convicted me that abortion was the human rights injustice of my time. And if I wasn't doing anything now to end abortion, I probably wouldn't have done anything then to fight for the rights of my African-American neighbors. And that completely broke me. I was in class, left in tears, convicted of my pride and just very emotionally moved in a way that I'm not usually. And that is kind of what I would mark as my summoning, I guess, in the pro-life movement. That moment stands out very much to me. I didn't realize this until later in my journey as I started working for Protect Life Michigan, which I can get to in a second. But I learned later that actually both sets of my grandparents were involved with the abortion issue to some extent. So my grandparents on my mom's side actually were instrumental in starting a pregnancy resource center right after Roe v. Wade was overturned. Had no idea when I first felt called to the pro-life movement. And my great-grandmother on my dad's side, actually a more sad story, but as a young girl, she was forced to help her mother with abortions. And obviously that was very traumatic for her. Her parents were very terrible parents in a lot of other ways as well. And so she ended up raising a lot of her siblings, moving to Michigan, became a Christian, met my great-grandfather, and raised 12 very pro-life children, who her oldest is my grandfather. So it was cool to see how the Lord even used her really terrible story in that, you know, she experienced abortion in a very horrible way and flipped, and all of her children are pro-life. And that's kind of the pro-life heritage I come from. So looking back, I feel very called to this work in kind of a unique way, but that's kind of my summoning, I guess. I think Scott's right.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And it's beautiful to see how it's woven into so many different people's lives, that so many people I've spoken to have not similar journeys, but similar kind of, I didn't know this until I got involved.
Yeah.
And then kind of things kind of pop out of the woodwork as, huh, who knew that my aunt had been instrumental in this capacity, or a church friend of ours had been instrumental in that capacity. So that's really cool. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. And so with that, then, how did you go from there to being connected with Protect Life Michigan specifically? Yeah. Was it kind of that's your only option? I guess, oh, okay, well, I got to do something and they're the only option, therefore here I go. Or right. What was that connection like?
Yeah. So looking back, you know, at the time I thought it was very random, but I think it was God's providence. About a month after I had that experience in class, it was the summer. I did this random 1 week internship. And at the end of the internship, the guy who was running it introduced me to Kristen Polo, who is the executive director of Protect Life Michigan and my current boss. So we got lunch. She recruited me. She got my number and she invited me to our life advocacy intensive, where I learned actually from Scott Klusendorf how to talk to people about abortion on the streets. So we were trained for 2 days, sent out on the third day to have conversations with strangers. And I didn't know you could change somebody's mind on the street, but I saw it happen. I saw people change their mind just seeing the victim imagery. People were wrecked. Like, I just distinctly remember this one guy just sat in front of the signs in silence, just totally impacted by the violence and the truth of what abortion is. And that kind of changed my life. I wanted to keep having those conversations. I wanted to keep seeing people change their minds. So from there, I got involved with my pro-life club on my campus. I went to a small Christian college, so there weren't a lot of minds to change, but there's still work to be done. And then I eventually did an internship with Protect Life Michigan the following summer. By that point, I was just kind of hooked. I wanted to keep doing this. I liked doing boots on the ground, being involved. And so I found myself applying to be a campus activist, which is somebody that just works with college students, helping them do outreach, recruiting people on campus. And did that for a couple of years, and then eventually changed roles, and now I'm the director of programs. So, super cool.
And even that, like, I love in some ways at times the winding road that people take to their current position, and sometimes it's a very direct beeline into a particular organization. I think of myself and how many different organizations I kind of dabbled with and learned about before I realized, you know what, I've got that opportunity, like you alluded to, that we can change hearts and minds on abortion and we can save children through that by proactively engaging them. And obviously that's a huge thing that Protect Life Michigan is in the midst of doing and continuing to grow. And that's one thing that I really admire about Protect Life Michigan for viewers. Many of you will think recently of the episode I did with Trevor Polo and the polling that you guys have done. I'm curious, when you look from your vantage point as the director of programs at the work that Protect Life Michigan is doing, I hope that I'm not setting this up for a bomb, but when you look at the opportunities and the challenges at times as well that sit in front of you, what goes through your mind? What goes through, like, the mind's eye when you get to work and you say, okay, all of these opportunities, all these roads lay in front of me? Is that an exciting feeling? Is that kind of a daunting feeling? Is that a little bit of both?
Yeah.
What is that emotion like when you log into work in the morning and see what you have to work with?
Yeah, I think it is a little bit of both. I'm really excited about all the things that we have going on. I think I'm very blessed to work in an organization that focuses on a theory of change mindset that I know CCBR talks a lot about. So getting up every day feeling like we can actually do something to make a difference and making abortion unthinkable, knowing that we've seen people's hearts and minds change on this issue. And if we can, you know, in some way figure out how to recruit more people and get our message out there more, like, we can see a significant shift in culture. So on that front, it's very exciting to be part of this, like, mind-changing work. On the other side of things, it can be discouraging when you see limitations. Like, there unfortunately are just not as many people willing to do outreach as we would like. And so we know that we have to figure out how to scale, and we don't often have the people that we want to scale. And then obviously there are legal battles and, you know, roadblocks and such. So learning to respond to those things, I think it's hard. I think we have to learn how to play the long game and be content with little victories along the way, with having that laser focus on doing everything we can to make abortion unthinkable and seizing opportunities as they come up to be more impactful. So as somebody who wants to create change right away, I have to practice patience and trust the Lord that it will happen in His timing. And that ultimately, even if we don't see victory this side of heaven, like, there will be eternal justice that side of heaven. And that can give me hope that I'm, you know, fighting for something that will happen someday. Just hopefully we pray on earth as it is in heaven. So,
Amen. That's awesome. We are now officially, for our audience, going off script. That's Adelaide. I've got the questions in mind. And so I'll give you a moment or two to think on this, because mm-hmm. I think that one thing that I experienced, especially while I was in university mm-hmm. and dealing with university and college students, is this idea that the temptation to put ourselves into boxes for what we can do and what we can't do. And the number of times that I have been told trying to recruit students, as mm-hmm. with anybody else, that, you know what, I'm just not that person. I'm just not able to engage in that way. I'm mm-hmm. not able to do outreach or talk to people about abortion, or I'm not anything like that. And I remember, I think it was a friend of ours, Nick McLeod, who said, if you have two legs mm-hmm. And can hold a sign, you can do pro-life outreach.
Yeah.
Everything else is accidental. Nick, I apologize if that is not something you said. In my mind, that is something that you have told me, that if you have legs, and even if you don't have legs, you can do pro-life outreach. I'm curious, when you think about students that may have said to you in different times of like, you know what, I can't do that, or I'm not able to do that, and the gentle but firm push that mm-hmm. we have to try to show that, as much as you and I are weirdos, so like mm-hmm. we are not necessarily the most normal people in the entire world, as many of you probably know for listening to a few episodes of me at least, that being a pro-life activist is not a genetic trait that, mm-hmm. you know what, I just don't have that gene and I cannot contribute in that way. What kind of words of encouragement do you often offer to people, students and otherwise, who might try to, whether they're trying to make an excuse to get out of mm-hmm. doing pro-life outreach mm-hmm. or simply just don't see how they fit into doing pro-life outreach, mm-hmm. do you have an approach that you try to take to encourage them to know that there's a space for everybody in pro-life outreach?
Yeah, I do think there's a space for everybody. And I think that there's the point that you should kind of factor in your different skills and talents and what you're good at. I think the pro-life movement needs professional graphic designers and fundraisers and scientists and people from all backgrounds contributing to this work. So in a sense, I do think like there is a place for everyone, and it might not always be the same role, but I do agree, if you have two legs, you can come to outreach. It's, you know, it is harder for some personalities than others, but I guess what I would say to somebody who's struggling with outreach, maybe I wouldn't be this direct with them, but I do think that sometimes pro-lifers struggle with what pro-choice people struggle with is, you know, not actually seeing the unborn as human. And so I think sometimes we see abortion as this thing that's happening not here. But I think back to, again, Martin Luther King Jr.'s letter and him pleading with the church. Like, I would hope Christians back then weren't saying like, well, it's not my skill set to advocate for my neighbors who are being brutally murdered. Like, when you think about the gravity of what's happening, I don't really think there's an adequate excuse. Now, I think some people do have, you know, limitations on their time. Everyone's at a different season of life to the extent that they can be involved. But I think we need to love our neighbor as ourselves, and that applies to our unborn neighbor as well. And, you know, not just ignoring the injustice that's happening to them, even if we are somewhat limited or our skills are different. I think, again, there's a place for everyone, and it might vary at different times. But still absolutely. Being involved.
Absolutely. I think that's a great way to put it. And I think that many people would also be surprised. And one bit of encouragement that I often try to offer to people is come and meet our team. Mm-hmm. Come and meet our team, because Jonathan, I'm not throwing you under the bus when I say this. Jonathan Van Maren is one of my colleagues. He runs a different podcast. In many ways, people might think of Jonathan as like the stereotype and archetype because he is very, very well spoken. And he doesn't shy away from debate or confrontation very often. Then people might look at Jonathan and be like, he is the guy that does this kind of outreach. And yet if you meet the rest of our team, I think that it's fair to say that we are not all a bunch of Jonathans.
No.
We all love Jonathan, and we are all so thankful that he is a part of our team. But I think that people might be very surprised by the kinds of people and the kinds of personalities even that make up our team, and not just our admin team, but also our outreach teams as well. I think about Virginia and Jeff, two wonderful people that we have working here in our Calgary office, and two of the very salt of the earth, meek and loving and genuine and kind people that you will ever meet. And they don't shy away from talking to people about abortion, and Jonathan's kind of demeanor changes in some ways when he's doing outreach as well. This isn't about confrontation. This isn't about a willingness to stand up on stage and debate an abortion advocate in front of thousands of people, but rather an encounter, an accompaniment of people. And I'm curious if you would say something similar about the Protect Life Michigan team of like, are you guys all like A-type, let's get into big fights and arguments and contradict people at every opportunity? Not that that's what Jonathan is, but, or do you find there's a bit of a spectrum of people where there's some people who do outreach that might not be within their quote unquote wheelhouse. And yet because of the urgency that you mentioned of the preborn children and the plight of abortion, have either taken a step outside of their comfort zone or have levered their skill set to be able to resonate with a different demographic than what somebody like myself or Jonathan, who are a little bit more out there, might be willing to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think we do have a bit of a variety of personalities. I can think of several of my coworkers who thrive and love the aspect of outreach of, you know, hearing what people think and are willing to be like, but like, you understand you're talking about a child that's dying, right? Like, and they're just a lot more forward and in a loving way still than I'm even comfortable being. And I think that I'm one of those people that I don't feel like I was, you know, like cut out for outreach in a way. I don't think well on my feet. I have to think about something a lot and have a lot of practice talking about it. The only way I can come on this podcast and actually sound somewhat polished is that I've been talking about these things for years. And, you know, when I started, that was not the case. And so very chunky, very, you know, hearing people's interactions and, you know, rejections to my ideas, like not knowing how to respond, even with good training, like just thinking on my feet is hard. And so I needed a lot of practice to get to the point where I'm at and still have a long ways to go. But yeah, I think that our team does vary in that. And, you know, some people can't come by it more naturally and some people really need to practice it like myself. So.
Gotcha. That makes a ton of sense. And in closing here, I think as well, like sometimes I think about, I'm a big sports guy, and I think there are sports in which the commentators will say you can't teach height, or and you can't teach different physical attributes for some sports. I would argue that we can teach anybody how to have good conversations about abortion, that regardless of what your background is, what your comfort level is, if you have a heart for preborn children, that is the only requirement that we have. And whether you have a ton of debate experience or zero debate experience, whether you have a ton of canvassing experience or zero canvassing experience, this is a very unique kind of mission and really beautiful kind of ministry. And it's so cool to see our team continue to grow with people who have those different backgrounds. And so huge thank you to you for coming on and for the entire team at Protect Life Michigan and all the wonderful work that you're doing. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.